The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Anthony, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm great, Pete. It's cool to be on the podcast. I've listened to quite a few episodes, so it's nice to be joining you this time on the other side of the transmission.
Beautiful, brother. Now, mental health expert and economist, those two pretty interesting. How would you call it? Yeah, going down the rabbit hole of those two things. And obviously it's brought you to some understandings about how the health system works. And I'm keen to explore this, and especially because you've written a new book about how it all works. So how you believe the system has been set up to work, or perhaps not work.
Right. Well, I mean, if by work you mean shovel tons of money into the hands of private corporations, it definitely, definitely works. I mean, if you mean treat and reverse chronic disease, performance not so excellent, I have to say.
So take us through a little bit of your journey and what you've studied over the years. And I guess I never like to talk about qualifications, because so many qualifications lead to experts that you would be best to run the other way with some of their advice. But let's talk about your history of why you went into these two fields, and if you can give us an overview of both of those fields, please, Anthony.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, there's a lot there. Yeah. First, a point on expertise. In a lot of fields, you will not become an expert unless you agree with the precepts that they expect you to believe in order to become an expert. So if we had a system like this in Aristotle's day, in order to qualify as a physicist, you would have to believe that everything falls to the ground because everything longs to achieve a state of rest. And that's why smoke goes up, and that's why apples fall off trees. Anyone proposing the theory of gravity would not get a PhD in physics, and they'd be relegated to YouTube, like you and I, Pete, where people would say, oh, they're not a real expert. They don't have a PhD. They don't have one of our degrees. So they've just got this wacky theory called gravity, and, you know, only weird people believe in that kind of thing. So you have to be very careful when people tell you to trust the experts, because it's basically a closed system and they get to decide who becomes an expert and who doesn't. Psychology and economics, I guess, seem radically removed, but I mean, I would say that economics is arguably a branch of psychology, you know, the way that the people behave in groups. When I did my undergrad degree, which was in the humanities, nothing to do with my postgraduate studies in counseling, I was really interested in philosophy and economics. Proceeds with similar precepts to philosophy. I was just interested in the truth. I mean, these kind of like disciplinary studies to me, I was interested in the history of thought, like how people, I love entertaining ideas, right? And trying to get at the truth of things. And sometimes even if I didn't agree with a philosopher's position or, you know, a psychological theory, I still love to kind of put the glasses on and like see what the world looks like through that angle. So I've always been interested in everything. During my undergrad, I got really into self-help. I was like a self-help junkie and I went to all these seminars and things like that. And I read the book, and you probably read it, or many of your listeners will have, Nonviolent Communication. And I found that self-help book to be extremely helpful, like practical. It helped me improve my relationships. And one of the chapters in that book was called Receiving Empathically. I think it's chapter 7. They might have changed it in the third edition. But I really practiced the exercises in that. And that was about listening to people properly. And I saw how positively affected someone. So I was like running these self-help workshops and things like that in Glasgow, Scotland, and sometimes in Edinburgh, and I liked it. And so when my undergrad degree was coming to an end, I thought, what am I going to do from here? So I went and studied counseling, and that's how I became a therapist. I'd already, out of my own interest, read quite a lot of, you know, the great psychologists and things like that, or at least books about them distilling their main ideas. So kind of like going two educations at one time. I had my like university education, but then just being a geek, you know, on YouTube and downloading audiobooks, because we didn't have such a wide range of podcasts as we do now back then, trying to like you know, go through the history of thought, just trying to get like some knowledge, some wisdom. So yeah, I did that and I kind of got into libertarianism, and that's very much political philosophy that's embroiled with interest in economics and how things work and a certain view of what kind of society maximizes human welfare. I had some of my own health challenges, which I kind of see as related to me becoming a self-help junkie. I think it was just, you know, I thought it was like just a mental thing, being kind of like depressed, anxious, going through bouts of depression and anxiety. Now I see kind of like everything's biological, and like so when I was improving my physical health, a lot of those psychological issues went away. So I felt like kind of uniquely placed to take on the pharmaceutical industry, because I knew from my own experience that I'd reversed conditions that the mainstream doctors had nothing for, you know, skin conditions, like digestive things related to the digestive system, they'll send you away with some cream that might make something go away for a wee while, but they're not really treating the root cause. Then I'd also looked at the healthcare system from an economic perspective and saw how the incentive structure was such that, you know, if I was your financial advisor and I said to you, I've got a great contract for you right here, right? See, when your portfolio like raises in value, then I'll make some money. But see, if your portfolio goes down in value, then I'll make like loads of money. But don't worry. Like if I bankrupt you, then I get nothing, right? So I'll make sure you don't go bankrupt. How does it sound? That's kind of what we're doing with our health, right? They make more money if you go, if your health declines, as long as they don't kill you. So the best thing is that you've got a bunch of chronic diseases which they can treat for 10, 20, 30 years. That's how they'll make the most money, as long as they don't kill you, right? And lo and behold, what are we getting? And in economics, we kind of learn that a system tends to go where the incentives are. Well, the incentive structure of the system is to get people to be really sick but not die. And what we've got is lots of people who are like really sick for like 10, 20, 30, 40 years, but like not dying, who they can. So kind of like the healthcare system is kind of like proof of the principles of economics, where a system tends to turn out the kind of results that you would expect it to based on the incentives. So that's a pretty long-winded answer to your question, but I felt it was a bit of a multi-layered question, so you got a multi-layered answer.
But I love long answers, so I like to sit back and just listen. As you're probably aware with my podcast, it's
Yeah, enjoy your podcast.
Oh, thank you, brother. And I love that description too, because it's fascinating. Over the years, we've had so many people, when we're talking about food as medicine, which I've got on my T-shirt today, that we had people that would come along and want to change their health, and they saw this change is using food or eliminating certain foods or celebrating other types of foods as extreme. Like, if this is the last thing that I'm going to try, I've tried the system, I've tried the specialists, I've tried the subscription-based pharmaceutical model for, as you said, for years or decades. And it was really interesting because lo and behold, a lot of people improve their health by this one last act of nearly rebellion against the system. It's like, okay, I'll change the food that I purchase at the supermarket or the grocery store. I'll change the way I cook it, and I'll change the way that I eat it, and I'll change my perspective. And what I found was a lot of people, they got really angry because in most cases, their symptoms improved, as you you said for yourself, and that it was so simple. All it changed was all it took was a change of thought, as a change of philosophy about how to actually bring our bodies back into homeostasis. And then these people got angry, and then they disliked their doctors or the pharmaceutical industry because they felt like they were duped. And I will just say, you know, modern medicine has its place, and I've relied on it in the past for traumatic injuries, sporting injuries and the like. But for chronic illness, it has a lot that that can be questioned, as you're doing too. And I just want to tap in as well, because you've created a website, a news website basically, that has co-founded with this information that you're putting out there into the world, just to paint that picture for a different perspective as well. I'd love you for you just to quickly talk about that website as well that you've co-founded and helped to put this information out.
Right, yeah. People can go to terrainscience.com, and we feature articles from lots of different writers. And the idea of that is, well, some people would probably have heard of it. You know, our view is, right, the body is the terrain. When we talk about terrain science, the body is the terrain. But it's kind of like got a double meaning as well, because we're talking about the negative effects of things like herbicides and pesticides and chemical fertilizers on the actual terrain of the earth, and how returning to a more natural way of cultivating food would be helpful for humans, as well as, you know, psychological. Even simple things. There's a lot of talk about the microbiome today and how important the bacteria in your gut is, not just for your physical health, but for your mental health, for all facets. If you want to be energetic.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.